This is Fresh Air. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward has a profile of a trio of musicians who enjoyed limited success in the late 50s, but who produced a few records that are considered classics. Here's the sound of the Burnett Brothers and their rock and roll trio.
Well, I don't need a doctor. I don't need a pill. Any other treatment, baby, would hardly make me ill. I need my therapy. I need my therapy. I need my therapy. Oh, give it to me. Oh, give it to me. Oh, give it to me.
Elvis was lucky, people in Memphis used to say. If the cards had just been dealt slightly differently, the honor of leading the rock and roll revolution that swept across America in the mid-50s might have gone to the Burnett Brothers and their rock and roll trio. That's debatable, but looking over the story of this all-but-forgotten band, some parallels are inescapable. Johnny and Dorsey Burnett were from Memphis, of course, but in 1952 they were working for Crown Electric, just like Elvis, only as trained electricians, not as truck drivers. Their main guitar player, Paul Burleson, was a huge fan of black music, like Elvis. But unlike Elvis, he'd gone so far as to be part of bluesman Howlin' Wolf's band on the Wolf's radio show on KWEM. And, like Elvis, the rock and roll trio had cut some audition tapes at Sun Records, but they vanished. The trio was understandably upset at Elvis's rocket to stardom, so in 1955, they worked out a deal with the Electricians Union to get paying union work in New York. They got an appearance on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour and won three times in a row, which was all you could do. In May 1956, they were signed to Coral Records and recorded their first sides at a ballroom, the Pythian Temple, in New York.
Come on, little baby, let's tear that dance floor up. Come on, little baby, let's tear that dance floor up. Come on, little mama, let me see you strut your stuff.
Tear It Up, which today is considered a rockabilly song of the most classic proportions, was only a regional hit, but it was enough to get the trio a tour. And although they recorded with Dorsey's slap bass as the only rhythm instrument, on tour they added a drummer, Tony Austin, who was Carl Perkins' cousin. On one date on the tour, Paul Burleson bumped his amplifier while carrying it onto the stage. He dislodged a tube, and when he started to play, the strangest sound came out of his guitar. Burleson was smart enough to check and see what had caused this noise, so he was able to reproduce it when the band recorded The Train Kept A-Rollin' in 1956. It went on to become the band's biggest record, but once again, the cards fell poorly. 1956 was the richest year in rock and roll history, and dozens of classic records came out that year, so many that plenty of them never made the national charts, and The Train Kept A-Rollin' was among that unlucky number. Most people, in fact, never even heard it until the Yardbirds recorded it for their appearance in the film Blow Up. Naturally enough, Coral was getting impatient for the trio to have a hit, and they went to the unprecedented lengths of releasing an album by the group at the end of 1956. It was packed with great music, including another Train song. Of course, nobody was buying albums by rock and roll singers back then, and the Rock and Roll Trio's album became one of the rarest collector's items of the era. By the middle of 1957, the tension of making such great music and getting nowhere was beginning to show. Johnny Burnett was ready to compromise. Dorsey wasn't. In the middle of a show in Niagara Falls, New York, they got into a fist fight, and Dorsey took the next thing smoking to Memphis. Even though the band got a spot in the Alan Freed movie Rock, 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 it wasn't the same, and the trio disbanded. Back in Memphis, the brothers made peace and decided to move to L.A. to achieve success. With their wives and kids, 11 people in all, they rented a two-bedroom house in Compton, and Johnny bought a map of the stars' homes. He found his way to that famous house on Camino Palmero in Hollywood, where the Nelsons lived, and asked to see Ricky. And the rest, as they say, is history.
I've been waiting in school all day long, waiting on the bell to ring so I can go home. I throw my books on the table, pick up the telephone. Hello, baby, let's get some going. Heading down to the drugstore to get a soda pop, throw a nickel in the jukebox, then we start to rock. My school cow baby gonna taste some news. You should look good in the baby doll shoe. Well, it's a one, two, a foot with a shoe. A three, four, get out on the floor. 5-6, come get your kicks down the corner of Lincoln and a 46, yeah!
After going on to write Believe What You Say for Ricky, the Burnett brothers started recording as solo artists, Dorsey recording such deathless classics as Tall Oak Tree, and Johnny, You're 16, You're Beautiful, and You're Mine, which after all that glorious rockabilly, I just can't bring myself to play here. Johnny died in a boating accident in 1964. Dorsey records country music, and Paul Burleson lives in Mississippi and is worshipped as a guitar god by kids who weren't even born when he knocked that tube loose.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.